Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
This is the verse that I've been meditating on. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This will come up on the screen. You're not going to get all the verses on the screen because I'm preaching freestyle. But this is our foundational verse this morning, Isaiah 9, verse 6. And it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It says, the government will lay on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so this is the verse that I've been meditating on this holiday season. And when I say meditating, what that means, it means to ponder by speaking, all right? And I want to encourage all of you to start making this a practice in your life. You know, just find a portion of scripture or a scripture and just begin to memorize it and just begin to ponder it over and over by speaking. And let me tell you why this is a good thing to do, because there's benefits to it. The psalmist said in Psalm 1, blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the path of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. And in his law or in his word, he meditates day and night. He ponders by speaking it day and night. All right, so the word of God is constantly coming out of your mouth. It's coming into your ear gate, and it's filling your heart with faith. And the benefit of that, it says that he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water, whose leaves don't fade and who bear its fruit in season. All right, so there's benefits to meditating on the word of God. So here it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and it says the government will lay on his shoulders. In other words, this child that is born to us, the son that is given, is going to carry, he's going to shoulder the weight. He's going to take on the burden of responsibility to bring and govern the kingdom of heaven on earth, the kingdom of God on earth. And this is why Jesus came. This is really the Christmas story. Says that the government will be on his shoulders. And so I was thinking about this. How many of you were in the military before? Listen, thank you for serving. I did not serve in the military. But one thing I know with the Army or the Navy, all of the government people that serve in the military, they have different things on their uniforms that identify their rank. You know what I mean? So like a sergeant will have these three chevron stripes on his shoulder. And then when they get a little higher in rank, maybe a lieutenant or maybe a general, they have what's called a shoulder board or a shoulder strap. And on that shoulder board or shoulder strap, there'll be two stars or three stars or four stars. And those stars represent what rank. So two stars, a two-star general. Three stars is a three-star general. Well, the scripture says that this child that was born, this son that was given, that he had the weight of the government on his shoulders. And the sign of Jesus's entitlement to rule and to reign, it wasn't three stripes on his shoulders, but 40 stripes on his back. And listen, I want to tell you this morning that every single one of those stripes is declaring your healing today. Come on, I'm telling you right now. It says, by his stripes we're healed. So whatever ailment you have today, whatever sickness, whatever you're carrying, I declare according to the word of God that right now at the sound of my voice and the word of God that you're being healed by the stripes on his back today. Yeah, you can receive it. You can receive it because we serve an all-powerful God. Amen. And also the sign of Jesus' entitlement, he didn't wear a shoulder board, but he wore a wooden cross. Yeah. The sign of his entitlement was the weight of a wooden cross on his back. And so what this cross represents, it represents a king like no other king. I mean, here's a king that wasn't trying to save his life. He was giving his life away. Yeah. This king of Jesus, the cross represents this king that says, I'm going to die for my people. That's why I'm coming. This cross represents a king that says, you know, I'm going to become poor that they might become rich. And this is exactly what Jesus did. This message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is not a rags to riches story. This is a riches to rags story. Because you got to understand that Jesus always was. He was in heaven with the Father. And man, he had all of the privileges of heaven. All the attributes of heaven. He gave up all of the privileges of heaven to come down on this earth. And listen, he was the King of Kings. Do you understand? He was the King of Kings. He could have come into this earth with horses and chariots and trumpets and a royal court. But he came in as a baby, born in a manger in this little town called Bethlehem, knowing that I'm going to die, that you can have life. In fact, the cross also represents, and this is true, Jesus literally went into hell for you. Yeah, on the third day he rose again so that we can live in heaven together with him, amen? So listen, I want to tell you, this is the Christmas story. This is the Christmas story. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It says that the government will be on his shoulders. And then it says this, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Everyone say Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor is on the screen. Wonderful Counselor. I'll continue. A lot of times throughout the years when I read Wonderful Counselor, I always put these two things together. You know what I mean? But when I've been meditating on it this year, I recognize that there's a comma between wonderful and counselor. And so when I'm meditating on these things, I'm saying, man, his name shall be called Wonderful. Listen, this is the son that was given. This is the child that was born. His name shall be called Wonderful. And you know, I was thinking about, we use that word a lot, don't we? We use that word wonderful a lot. We might say, you know, have a wonderful day. You know, how was your meal? Oh, it was wonderful. You know, I know that a lot of times Marie Taylor, I say, how you doing, Marie? She says, I'm doing wonderful, Pastor Vic. You know, maybe your favorite movie in the holiday season here is It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, yeah, so Jesus says, or the Word of God says that his name shall be called Wonderful. But that is a different, has a different meaning when we're talking about the character of Jesus. Because when it says that his name shall be called Wonderful, it's really, it makes us recognize that he's more than just wonderful, but he's full of wonder. He's full of wonder. So that his name, it's almost where it boggles our mind that this child was born, this son was given, and he's so wonderful that we recognize that everything he did is full of wonder. You can put that up on the screen if you want. Wonderful. Wonderful Counselor. You know, and so we recognize this, and even in his conception, right? I mean, the way he was conceived, he was born of a virgin. Yeah, conceived by the Holy Spirit leaves us full of wonder on that. And then even when he was a young boy at 12 years old, man, his understanding and his wisdom of the scriptures, it left the teachers and the scholars full of wonder. Remember when his parents kind of left him behind in a caravan by accident? This is, you know, Joseph and Mary. And they turned around to go get him 3 days later, and they found him in the temple. And he was sitting with the teachers and the scholars and the religious leaders. And the Bible says they were amazed. They were full of wonder at the understanding that this 12-year-old boy had of the scriptures of the Bible. Then he got a little older, you know, and he went around preaching and teaching, right? And it says that people were full of wonder because he taught as one that had authority. He taught differently than all the scribes. There was an anointing on Jesus' life that when he opened his mouth and taught, man, people were full of wonder because something penetrated their heart. He wasn't like the scribes. It wasn't like anybody else. There was something behind his words that brought creative power to it. Yeah? And then we think about the power of the Holy Spirit working in his life. Oh, it left so many people full of wonder. Remember when he came up after he was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist? And the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Right after that is when he started his public ministry, not before that. And he went out and he was teaching and preaching and healing, casting out demons. I'm telling you, everywhere he went, there's multitudes of people that are full of wonder by this child that was born and the son that was given. Man, the deaf heard. Right? The blind saw. Yes. The mute spoke. The lame walked. The dead were raised. Everywhere he went, the power of the Holy Spirit brought life, and it left people full of wonder. His name shall be called Wonderful, leaving us full of wonder, right? And then his perfect life. I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking about all the things that make me full of wonder when I think about this wonderful counselor. His perfect life, you know. The Bible says that he was tempted in all ways as we are, but he never sinned. He never caved into it. He never gave into that temptation. How many of you have given into temptation before? Amen. Yeah, how many know your feet will take you, you don't want places you don't want to go? Yeah, so we all fall into that. We cave into that. But Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are. So you can think about ways you're tempted. You can think about ways you're going to be tempted this afternoon when we say, God bless you, Merry Christmas. He was tempted in all ways as we are, but he didn't give into it. He never sinned, which made him the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God who can cleanse us from all our sin. Yeah, leaves us full of wonder. And then his death, you know. I mean, I was thinking, unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born. You know, little tiny hands, little tiny feet, little tiny ears. And he knew. He knew what was going to happen, even when he was a baby, because he forever was, right? He's everlasting. Why did he come as a baby? Why did he come as a little infant? Well, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, he was conceived and born of a virgin. And let me tell you why. Because when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, sin entered the human race. So you're born sinners. I am too. Listen, you know that you never have to tell a little kid how to sin? You don't teach him. You don't have to teach him how to sin. You don't have to teach him how to lie. You don't have to teach him how to be deceptive. You know, you'll catch him in the kitchen. You know, they got cookie crumbs all over, chocolate on their face. Did you eat a cookie? Oh. Listen, we are born sinners. And so Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. So why? Because there was no sinful blood running through his bloodstream, which made him the perfect sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. So he knew why he was coming. And then they beat him and they mocked him. They pulled his beard from his face. They spit on him. You know, they took off all of his clothes to shame him and nailed him to a cross. And in his dying words, he said, Father, forgive him. That leaves me full of wonder. It leaves me full of wonder. Yeah, and then, you know, his resurrection, right? On the third day, he rose from the grave, conquering death forever, taking the sting out of death, so all who would believe in him, man, we will die, but we will live forever. These bodies will go, but we have the promise of eternity. Yeah, so the resurrection gives us the promise that after this life, if we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we get to go to heaven together. Listen, this is why I'm telling you. It is so important, parents, that you let your kids know about Jesus. They need to know that you believe in Jesus. Because if you happen to be taken from this earth, the greatest hope that your kids can have is they'll see you again. Amen. Amen. And that's why we're not ashamed. This is why Gail and I have given our life to this. Because this is eternal hope. I wanted to be a paramedic in high school. I wanted to be a paramedic. I started taking anatomy classes because I just wanted to be there to help people. And one night I was doing a stay overnight at the department, and we got a call. I was about 17 or 18 years old, and we get a call, and we go out, and I lived up in the mountains of Southern California, so there's a cliff on this side, and there's a cliff on this side. These were high mountains. And we get a call, and a 17-year-old was driving his motorcycle and didn't make a turn. He was going too fast and went over the end. Well, we got the call, you know, and I'm just along for the ride, you know. And we got to where they saw he went over, and they had to rappel down, and they get this guy lifted up, and I'm in the ambulance, and we're riding, and I'm listening to this paramedic, you know, the EMT workers telling him, man, hang in there, buddy, hang in there. We're going to get take care of you. Hang in there, hang in there. We get him to the hospital, and then they do whatever they do, and we go back to this fire station house, and I heard this grown man wailing, just crying, wailing out loud, groaning. And listen, I've never heard a grown man cry before. This guy was crying because the kid didn't make it. And I knew at that moment, I want to do more than save lives. I knew it. So I dropped out of college and knew I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to lead people to Christ, and I'm going to save them their eternal lives. And I want to give my life to do that. Amen. Yeah. There's so much purpose in it. There's so much purpose in it. And so this child who is born, the son who is given, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Counselor. Yeah. You know, there are so many great places, so many great people that can really give us professional help when we need it. Amen. And I want to encourage you, if you need professional counseling or professional therapy, listen, it is not a lack of faith for you to get some help. All right? There are some professional counselors, therapists, and they are very, very helpful. You know? But how many of you know there's only one wonderful counselor? Yeah. There's only one wonderful counselor. I mean, think about it. You know, you can call on Jesus anytime, and he's never too busy. There's no waiting lists. He's our ever-present help. Listen, listen. There's no payment schedule. No collecting of insurance. Why? Because he paid it all. He paid it all. And listen, I want to tell you something about this wonderful counselor is that he brings the most thorough and complete help. Yeah, whatever you're going through mentally, emotionally, if you have some mental struggles, if you're dealing with some emotional things from your past, whatever it is, spirit, soul, and body, spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever help you need, he gives thorough and complete counsel. It's totally, totally complete. The Bible tells us that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him, he knows it. Another place in Scripture says that nobody had to tell Jesus the nature of humans or the human nature. Nobody had to tell him about our human nature. Like, how do you process things? How do you grieve? How do you go into seasons of transition and change? How do you deal with these things? No one ever had to tell him about the human nature, because he already knew everything that was in the heart of every person. And he knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your heart right now. You know, somebody here this morning, you're sitting here and you have, you know, a pretty calm look on your face, but just below the surface, man, there is a raging storm inside of you, or fear. Or maybe you're bummed out because you don't have the funds to have the Christmas that you wanted. The Lord sees everything that's going on inside of your heart. Yeah, he sees you, and he knows how to help you. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Yeah, so listen, not only do we have this wonderful counselor that can give us advice and give us guidance and give us help and give us encouragement, but he's Mighty God. As well, you know, I've probably, I don't know, maybe thousands of hours of counseling this year, you know, maybe more, I don't know. But one thing I know is that as Gail and I minister to people and we give direction and guidance, you know, we can tell people or give really good suggestions on what they should do, but we can't help them do it, right? We can give the counsel, but we can't make them do it. Well, when we go to Jesus, not only does he give you the counsel you need, but man, he is Mighty God. He'll give you the strength and the courage to solve your problem. He will. You go to Jesus with a situation, no matter what might be, and listen, he'll endue you with the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can solve your situation. Yeah, we tap into this. We tap into this. You know, and the other thing that's really cool is that when we go to our wonderful counselor who is mighty God, when we go to him, regardless of how difficult your situation, no matter how hopeless it might seem, man, he'll come and give you help. But man, he'll endue you with the power of the Holy Spirit and get you fixed. And then you go out and you help people. Yeah, this is what Jesus said. Yeah, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. Now listen, let me tell you this, LWC. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. It doesn't say to be my judges. It doesn't say to be the jury. It doesn't say to be a defense attorney. It says, you shall be my witnesses. Yes. Listen, a witness has one thing and one thing only to do, and that's to testify of the truth. Yeah. This is what we do. So when you're going through something difficult and you go to this wonderful counselor who is mighty God and you lay out your stuff before him, man, he'll come in and he'll start working on you and he'll endue you with power with the Holy Spirit so that you might be his witness to testify of the truth that he is alive and well. That's why we live, church. That's why we're here. You know, coming to church is not just some religious thing I got to do once a year on a holiday. No, we're Christians. And we are testifying of the truth of this child that was born and this son that was given. So Jesus said, that man, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, shall receive power to be my witnesses, to testify the truth. And then in Mark chapter 16, this is the Great Commission. Jesus had already resurrected from the grave. He hadn't ascended yet. And he met with his disciples and he told them this: go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes in you and is baptized will be saved. And then he goes on to say, and these signs will follow those who believe. It says, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. If they drink anything deadly, it won't harm them. They'll take up serpents. They'll lay hands on the sick and recover. And then in verse 20 of Mark chapter 16, it says that the disciples went out and preached everywhere. They did exactly what he told them to do. They preached everywhere. They were testifying of the truth. And the Bible says that the Lord was working with them. Listen, working with them, confirming their words. Confirming the testimony of the truth with signs, wonders, and miracles. So guess what? Now we have believers that are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're going out doing the works that Jesus did. Healing the sick. Yeah, raising the dead. Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you, church, you are Christians and you have access to this power. And I want to tell you, this power isn't to exalt yourself. It's to testify of the truth. And the Lord says, if you'll go out and you'll share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you'll testify to the truth, you can roll up on an impossible situation and see God do a miracle right in front of you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is why he came. This is the Christmas story. This is why we're here, right? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Yeah, yes. Everlasting Father. Everlasting. You know what this means? He'll never leave you. He's everlasting. He'll never forsake you. He's our everlasting Father. Listen, he'll never abandon you. He'll never die on you. He's everlasting. He's eternal. He was, he is, and he forever will be. He's our eternal Father. He's everlasting. So guess what? Time is not an issue for him. He's not limited by time. This is good news, church. Because he's never too busy to answer when you call. Ever. Ever. He's everlasting. You never have to make an appointment. Listen, and because time is not an issue, guess what? He never slumbers or sleeps. Yeah, so you know what this means? It means that he will never be too tired to sit up with you in the night when you can't sleep. Come on, is this a good God or what? Yeah, it's everlasting. Everlasting. So listen, man, when I go around and we say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you really know the depth of what that really means? That's what you're learning today. This is the Christmas story. Unto us a child is born, a son was given. Yeah, the government will be on his shoulder. It's a heavy price to pay so he can reign and rule. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. You know we need peace. Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest struggles we have, even as Christians, is to maintain peace in our heart. Because there's stuff pulling at you, right? There's news in the world. There's circumstances you're walking through. There's things scratching trying to get at your peace. And the Lord says, I'm your Prince of Peace. Listen, let me tell you why the Lord is called our Prince of Peace. He's called our Prince of Peace because he's the only one that can give us true peace. Listen, Jesus is the only one that can reconcile us and restore our relationship to God. He's the only one. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. He's the only one that can give us this true peace. And Jesus told his disciples in John 14, 27, he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. It was a gift. He says, listen, I'm giving you my peace. I'm leaving my peace with you. I'm giving my peace to you. And then he goes on to say, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. And then in Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ, let this peace of Christ rule in your heart. Yeah, so Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. And then the writer of Colossians, which the Apostle Paul, comes and says, listen, let not your heart be troubled, but let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart is this. It's to let his peace be or act as your inner umpire. Yeah, that's what it is. So you have the Prince of Peace living inside of you, if you're a believer. You have the Prince of Peace living inside of you. And we learn to allow that Prince of Peace, that inner umpire, wave us forward in peace or coach us to hold our ground. Yeah. And so learning how to do this, learning how to walk in peace and learning how to trust that the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. Listen, you don't have to go very far to find peace. Amen. We just have to learn how to let the peace of Christ rule or be the inner umpire in our life. Yes. Yeah. And it's really not that difficult to do. We have to trust him. You know, Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 26:3, says that you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Amen. Because he trusts in you. Come on, everyone say perfect peace. Perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Yes. Because he trusts in you. Yes. So when I'm at the crossroad of indecision, you know what I mean? You know, when you're in a place where you're not quite sure what to do, you're at the crossroad of indecision. You know, and by the way, let me tell you this. The crossroad of indecision doesn't have to be a huge thing. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like this huge thing. It can be like minor things, like should I spend money on this gift or not? It's a crossroad of indecision. Now I was thinking, how many decisions do we make every day? Yes. I mean, how many, I have no idea, but today you made a decision to get out of bed. You made a decision on what clothes you were gonna wear. You made a decision you were gonna come to church. You probably made 50 decisions already, if not more. And a lot of times, we're at this crossroad of indecision. So when I'm at a crossroad of indecision, and like I said, it doesn't have to be a major. That's kind of funny, because we're talking about this inner umpire. So we have major league indecisions, and we have minor league indecisions. Yeah? So whenever I'm at a crossroad of indecision, man, I've learned to tap into my inner umpire, the Prince of Peace. And I'll let him rule my decision, whether he's waving me forward in peace or whether he's telling me, hold your ground. Peace makes the call. Yeah, this is what it means to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So I have these phrases that I live by, and some of you probably heard them when I've talked with you, when you were thinking about what do I do next, is that the reality is this. The things that I hold on to are these phrases. Seek peace and pursue it. Always. Seek peace and pursue it. And the other one is go in the way of peace. Yeah, it's what I live by. And it works, you know. And you don't really know. It's just constantly. He whose mind is stayed on you, you will keep him in perfect peace. So I went out on Thursday, and I had intentions. I left my house. I knew what I was going to do. I was going to go visit a man in a facility. Wanted to visit him. And man, that's why I went, is to go visit this man. And I pulled right into the facility, found a parking place, and in my heart, I didn't have peace. Was it wrong that I was there? No, but for some reason, I just knew it. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, you know what? Hold your ground. He didn't wave me in. And so I left, you know, and I went home. It was just a split of the second decision. I just knew that I didn't have peace to follow through with my plan. And I didn't really know why that was happening. But what I found out a little bit later is that this man has kids, and I don't know what the timing was, but I'm guessing they were having Christmas with him as a family, and I haven't interrupted that. That's what I'm guessing. Listen, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Yeah, the Prince of Peace lives inside of you, amen? So seek peace and pursue it, and then go in the way of peace. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You know, I've had this, one of the Christmas carols that I've had on my mind this year is this Joy to the World, right? You all know it, right? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Now, let every heart prepare him room. What do you give a king who has everything? The wise men came when he was just a little baby, and they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What do we bring a king who has everything? You know, he only wants one thing. He only wants one thing from you and one thing from me. He wants us to make room in our heart for him. Yeah. That's what he wants. That's what he came for. That your heart might be his home, church. And so the same Jesus that was born in a manger in a little town of Bethlehem, the same Jesus that hung on the cross and carried the weight of the sins of the world that we might have life, the same Savior, the same Jesus who rose on the third day is the same Jesus who's knocking on the door of your heart right now. Who may be in your heart right now, man, you have a raging storm going on. There's just rage inside of there. Maybe fear. And the Lord said, listen, invite me into that space of your heart as your Prince of Peace. Yeah, he said, let me in. Let me in and we'll have a meal together as friends. This is the Savior I serve. He's like right here with me, everything I go through. All the time. It's a personal relationship with this king, with this child, with this son. He said, man, just make room in your heart for me. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're lonely this Christmas, you know? Maybe this is the first Christmas that you're spending without a loved one. You got some loneliness, you got some emptiness inside your heart. And the Lord is saying, invite me into that space that's so lonely. Invite me in as your everlasting Father. And let me sit with you. Yeah, make room for me. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been diagnosed with a deadly disease. Or you know somebody in your family that's dealing with sickness and difficulties. And you don't know what to do. And the Lord's saying, prepare room in your heart. Invite me into that area as mighty God. And he'll heal your sicknesses and he'll heal your disease. He goes, just make room for me. Invite me into those areas of vulnerability. Prepare in your heart room for me. Maybe you're here this morning also, or maybe you're confused, you know. You don't know what to do. You don't know what's next. You're kind of like hit the end of the road. You don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And you're struggling emotionally. You're struggling mentally. And you don't know what to do. You just don't know what to do. And everybody's, oh, praise the Lord, Merry Christmas. And you're saying, Merry Christmas, but you're so empty. And the Lord says, invite me in as your wonderful counselor. Invite me in right now. And let me be everything that I was called to be for you. You know, this isn't just something that happens on December 23rd, 2023. I'm telling you, I've been meditating on this verse for the holiday season, and there are several times during the day where I call on my wonderful counselor. I'll call on mighty God. I'll call on my everlasting Father. I'll call on the Prince of Peace to meet me where I'm at, no matter what situation it might be. All the time, he's always there. Amen. Unto us, the child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government will lay on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And I want to encourage you, you know, as we leave here today, you know, man, have a Merry Christmas. Can I pray a blessing over you before we go? Father, I want to thank you for everyone here, everyone that's listening online, even those that might hear this a week from now. But I thank you, Lord, that today, Lord, we have made a decision, not just for today, but, Lord, coming into the new year, that, Lord, we want to make sure that we prepare a place in our heart for you, that we make room for you in our schedules. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing over everybody here today, and I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that the Prince of Peace, the God of all peace, that, Lord, you would show everybody in this place today your peace in all of its perfection in every area of their life. And we thank you. And we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.